This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 77. Where the hell have you been?
Excuse me. Did I not say last week we should record a podcast? Did I not say that?
No, you didn't. Can't prove that you did. Although there may be written evidence on Twitter.
I think there is tweets suggesting that you're an arsehole.
There are many tweets suggesting that I'm an arsehole. That doesn't necessarily mean we talked about doing a podcast.
That is true. But on the nature of arseholiness, you're second to the Pope.
To the Pope?
He's an arch-holiness. Arseholiness.
That was really tenuous.
Oh yeah, thank you. It's a long time since we've done this podcast. So I need to get my tenacity expanded.
Well, you put your webcam on earlier and you don't need any more expanding. You've got like 30 layers on. That's not a joke.
I've not got 30.
You look the Michelin Man.
I've got seven layers on. And the reason I look like Michelin Man is the gloriousness that is the mince pie over Christmas.
I did indulge.
Did you? Yes. What did you indulge in, Simon?
An orgy of chocolate.
An orgy?
Yeah, an actual orgy
of chocolate. That implies there's more than one of you.
Well, there's me and a lot of chocolate, yeah.
Excellent. So you ate your own body weight in chocolate?
No, I had sex with it.
Halfway through, did you vomit?
Yeah, no, it was a proper Roman orgy.
In my old school, we used to have orgy, which is what they called lost property.
What?
At the end of each term, we had orgy, which was when matron got all of the lost property she'd nicked from us, right, out of her trunk and paraded it in the library. And we had to go in one by one and claim on the property. And you'd get a major.
No, see, what you've done there is you've confused your school life with a very bad 70s porn movie you must have just seen.
I haven't. That's what they called it. They called it orgy. But the advantage of getting your stuff back at orgy was you didn't get a major, which would add up to a major P, right? You didn't get that if you got your property early. If you waited to the end of term to get your property. If you got it early, then you get a major that week because you'd been careless with your hockey stick or whatever.
Seriously, you're just living an Inspector Morse fantasy.
I used to live an Inspector Morse fantasy because I used to wear those skirts.
Right. God, are you glad we're back, everybody?
I don't know if you are. That's a really obscure reference, which I can't even remember the name of the episode.
It's like the second or third episode, isn't it?
Yeah, ever.
Luckily, I have them all on DVD since
so
Christmas.
So do I.
And I have I, Claudius.
Yeah, that's true, you do.
I, Claudius is The Wire set in Roman times.
It is just like The Wire, only with the amount of swearing.
Yeah.
And Brian Blessed appears in both.
Brian Blessed in The Wire would be brilliant. Omar's alive!
You know, he plays Stringer Bell in The Wire. And it does a very good job. Yeah. He does an amazing job at Stringer Bell.
So, did you get a newspaper?
Of course.
What did you get?
I went with The Independent, mainly because on the cover of The Independent, they've got statistics.
The front of the Sunday Times, which I got, has a story about how you're going to have to take your teenager to the toilet.
Hang on, what did you get? The Sun?
The Sunday Times.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, The Sun. So you've got a big weighty paper to deal with there.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's this thing that you want to talk about, which I've shown no interest in? Taking a teenager to the toilet.
Yeah.
Watch them have sex. That's not right.
No.
That's what teenagers do.
A new law says that if you're on licensed premises, your teenager has to be in sight of you at all times.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? So it's The Independent versus The Sunday Times. Is that what you're saying?
That's it. That is the crucial battle.
That's a weighty sumo battle.
That's Goliaths crunching away, eating celery. I don't know. I don't know if that was a battle that they did in the Circus Maximus, but celery eating.
It's also a rubbish Goliath versus Goliath, isn't it? We don't know
exactly.
How to write drama.
You need a little guy with a slingshot.
Yeah.
That's what you need. And the thing is, Simon, if there is a little guy in this podcast, I think that's you. Trouble is, I'd be the Goliath, and as a Goliath, I'd have nicked your slingshot. So you're defenceless, and the Times will lose, the Independent will win. Hurrah for me.
It's time to go head to head for the first Cut Out and Keep of 2010 or 2010.
Look at you. Look at you for guessing that it's called Cut Out and Keep.
Yeah, but I'll just edit out that pause and no one will ever know. So you're just wasting my time now, as always. Is it 2010 or 2010?
It's 2010.
I'd say 2010 as well.
I'd say it's 2009, but it's 2010. It's like we've gone backwards.
Yeah, you are backwards. I've always thought that.
You haven't. You've always thought me highly advanced and very exciting.
Have I ever, 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 ever said that to you?
No, Izzy, but you've always thought
it. I find you highly
it.
Advanced and exciting.
Loads of people think that about me. I'm like a shiny new gadget out of a box.
Yeah, which you then realise is just empty and vacuous and you don't actually need.
Which links quite nicely into my article, actually.
Oh, okay, go on then, you do your first.
Yeah, do my first. Ladies first, Simon. So, officially, you should go first.
See, what you've done there is a gender reversal joke.
See, what you've done there is behaved like a child.
Yeah.
Right.
I made a snowman the other day.
Did you?
Stabbed it through the head with a washing line.
I know, and then you tagged it as me on Facebook.
I'm not childish. What is your cut out and keep? And is it worthy of being the first one of the decade?
That was the moment I decided to destroy all my worldly goods. And this is about three different artists who all destroyed everything that they owned.
Is one of them the people who used to sing Justified and Ancient, KLF? We're justified. And they're driving an ice cream van, which they burnt later on for artistic reasons.
It's an artist, Jasper Joff, which is an excellent name. The other is a gentleman who's a designer label addict called Neil Borman, and he decided to burn his. Do you see, Jasper Joff sold all his quite cleverly. And then there was the first guy to do it was Michael Landy. Also a very good name, Landy.
So one of three in the article about burning your possessions didn't actually burn his possessions.
Destroy?
Oh, sorry.
Not burn.
But he didn't destroy it either. He sold it.
No, he didn't. He sold it. But all of his stuff. Not like keeping old love letters or in his diaries, he sold them off.
So they could have got the guy from KLF quite easily, and their article would have been complete. At present, at best, it's now 66% complete. Well, 67 if you round it up, at best.
Well, Michael Landy, he, over a period of a month, chopped all his things up by hand in a shop window.
Oh, as performance art?
Yeah. He reckoned it was about 10 minutes when he had no possessions, because after 10 minutes he decided to go and buy a toothbrush.
Do you know what I'd have done if I was working in that shop? I'd have kept bringing him presents. And just like every time he thought he was right at the end, I said, I've just bought you a set of cutlery. Really tough, solid steel cutlery.
And also, what I don't understand about that is, in the article it says he went to buy a toothbrush, right, after about 10 minutes because he reasoned he wouldn't be able to do it. What was he wearing when he went to buy the toothbrush?
Did he chop up his pants, is what you're saying?
Well, yeah, because if he chopped up everything he owns, I mean, surely, like, the guy wears glasses and he has, like, clothes on.
Yeah,
so
I want to see the pictures of him buying a toothbrush naked in boots.
But what's really freaked me out about it, he destroys his birth certificate, all his inland revenue, all his account statements, all his money had gone. He literally had nothing. It's amazing. I want to do that, but really not.
But not, no.
Very insecure.
Okay, I've got an article that immediately sounds like it's going to be rubbish, right? And all signs point towards it being rubbish, but it's actually a brilliant article.
Can I just list another sign that points to it being rubbish?
Yeah.
That's you picked it.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Apologies now, readers. It's going to be
No, you're
going to
love this. It's called Rocky Hits the Canvas.
Right.
Right, and it's about how Sylvester Stallone is actually quite a well-revered, serious artist, that his works of paint on canvas are pretty good, they're worth quite a lot of money, and they express quite a lot of his deep emotions. Now, the reason it starts bad is because they think, oh, we need to chuck as many Rocky type puns into this as possible. Count the puns. Count the puns. Rocky hits the canvas. One.
One.
Sylvester Stallone has finally won the recognition he craved as a painter, having recently knocked the art world off its feet.
Two.
He drops his guard.
Three.
To talk exclusively about his other career. And then on the front it says, a brush with Rocky, Sylvester Stallone knocks the art world for six, which is actually a cricketing reference.
Yeah, it is a cricketing reference, and also you've already had knock there, so I'd only say that's three, so I'm not overwhelmed.
Well, that's more than it needs to be honest, and it kind of starts off a bit kind of, oh, look, yeah, Sylvester Stallone's a painter. Isn't that ridiculous? He's just an actor who thinks he can paint. But it kind of quickly gets away from that. We all know that Stallone is hugely famous, but not for being an artist. surely what he does is art, whether or not you think it's high art or low art. Surely making films and writing films and acting in films is art, surely.
Yeah, but it's not visual art. It's not splashing paint about.
Yeah, it's not proper art or something.
No, no. When people think of the word art, they first think of visual art before they think of acting and dramatic art and photography.
But here's the thing. Everyone forgets that Rocky won an Oscar.
Did he?
Yeah. He got Best Film in 1976. But this is the thing, and he kind of mentions this, but before I got to it, I wrote a note in the thing. Stallone is so good as an actor that you actually think he's Rocky. And he's not. He's nothing like Rocky at all.
Oh, he can't even run up steps.
Well, he broke his neck getting punched the other day.
Why is that?
He was doing a fight scene for his new film and he got a hairline fracture in his neck where he got punched.
Is that just where the fracture is, at the hairline, or is that because it's a very...
Don't belittle a man who's broken his neck. Certainly don't belittle Sylvester Stallone, because he'd beat you up. Well, he wouldn't. He wouldn't.
I'm a girl. He'd beat you up for leaving it in the podcast. Exactly. Because you like the filth.
But he gets to the point quite nicely. He says, I had entered this alternate universe, which is, I guess, some form of filmic stardom. I was now being related to as a character, as Rambo and Rocky, a hero. And my own identity was really secondary. And I thought this was kind of interesting. That's not really something Rocky would say. He'd say, and I thought this was kind of interesting, Adrian. That's my Rocky impression.
And then he'd eat a raw egg, and you'd go, ugh.
Yeah, and then Mickey would say, he'll kill you till you're dead,
and then, which so is one of the best lines. Did he do the painting at the end of the film where he's fighting that other guy and...
No, but his style is very similar to that.
Is it?
Actually, he does a lot of word art.
Word art's rubbish. It's like clip art that you get in Word. It's all sort of like, and it's always on really boring office presentations, and it's always like a guy with a light bulb over his head and shadow going, huh. And if a light bulb was over your head, you wouldn't be in shadow, okay? That's all I'm saying. You wouldn't be in shadow. If it's right over your head, at least the top of your head would be lit.
Yeah, he hasn't just written his name in Comic Sans. Although there is a picture there of the Rocky hat.
The Rocky hat? Or that little beanie he wears?
That little black one, yeah.
Okay, I haven't missed like a huge thing in a film again.
No, just a hat that he wears as Rocky.
There was a film of Star Trek, and it hinged on the fact that Spock was dead.
And you didn't know that?
No. So I wasn't that amazed when he turned up.
And he concludes the whole article by saying, happy art, it just doesn't seem to work for me. So he thinks you can't do good art if you're happy.
There's a really interesting TED Talks. It's this woman who's a writer, and she's talking about how, in the past, artists wouldn't kill themselves and need to be depressed and stuff. And she thinks it's a sort of language and belief problem. She sort of says, well, in the olden days, like Socrates said, that he wasn't the artist really, but there was something else. Because you know when you're writing a joke or a play or whatever, and then you just suddenly have this idea, you don't know where it comes from, you've got to write it down before it goes again. And she says there's a lot of pressure on artists now because the way our culture is, everything has to come from within. So therefore, if we fail, it's all on us. Whereas in the past, when you had like a genius outside the body, like the Romans did, you just basically could blame them. And it was a far better system.
The muse, you mean?
Well, like the muse, yeah, but not exactly like the muse because they're less whiny and sort of, you know, emo-like. But it's basically the idea that inspiration, a bit like, I suppose, falling in love, because you can't really control that. Like, inspiration to do a thing is a bit like that. So by externalising it, you don't put yourself under undue pressure. You're just like, oh, fair enough.
This has all got really philosophical and interesting.
Oh, shit.
Say something double entendre-ish.
Well, having a wank.
So I suppose we should play the first article or farcical of a new decade. Or is it? I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, it's not a new decade, is it? It's a new year.
It's a new year, certainly.
Yeah, because 2011 is the official start.
It's only a new year if you decide on the arbitrary point where you start to measure the orbit of the Earth around the sun, isn't it? A new year could start quite easily on the 6th of June.
It couldn't.
Yeah, it could.
Because new year has to be on January the 1st. So you'd have to have the 6th of June as January the 1st. Which is effectively what it's like in Australia.
No. You're confusing your own mind with reality there.
No, that would make me Christian. We've got four articles here, Simon. Three of them I have plucked from the pages of the Independent on Sunday, 10th of January, 2010. One of them, however, I've made up, and it doesn't appear anywhere in the paper. Now, do you think you can guess which one I've made up? Which is the farcical among the articles?
My New Year's resolution is to win.
Really?
Yeah, to win everything. I'm going to win everything this year. I'm going to win. So, yes, I think I can.
Okay. Gay green Christian. This is the year of the niche ski trip.
Right. So if you're a gay green Christian, you can go on a ski trip with other gay green Christians.
Yeah.
But surely you can't have a gay green Christian.
Yeah, you can. What, are you suggesting that Christianity cannot expand to include the Green Party? Is that what you're saying? They don't like trees?
Yeah.
Every single tree they whittle down and tie around their necks as a crucifix. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying, yeah.
Boating and baboon spotting for beginners.
Right. Okay, that says it all, really. That's, I don't need to ask anything about what that's about.
Yeah. Cadbury's makes chocolate.
Yeah, that's fairly obvious.
And finally, finger on the pulse. Chickpeas cookery.
These are all very independent, aren't they?
They are all very independent. You're not going to find these articles in your mirrors.
You might find them in the mirror if you hold up your independent to the mirror.
No, then they'd be backwards, so it'd be pulse on the finger. Which is a completely different thing. That's just balancing a chickpea on one point.
Right, as opposed to putting your finger on a pulse.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that?
Well, put your finger on a pulse. Check to see if the chickpea's still alive before you cook it. Always cook with fresh chickpeas, that's the key.
As opposed to what chickpeas?
We don't want sort of like cockpeas. You can't let them grow up to become cockpeas.
Exactly.
Give chickpeas a chance.
No, I don't like chickpeas.
Really?
Yeah.
What about hummus?
I like hummus, yeah.
That's made from chickpeas.
Yeah, but it's got other things in it, isn't it?
Well, it has got other things, but I'm always suggesting to eat chickpeas without anything. That's not the point. You're meant to mix them. Hence the notion of cookery.
Right. So I am going to say boating and baboon spotting.
What? For beginners?
For beginners.
So why have you gone with that one?
Why?
Yeah. Normally you go through a thing where you explain your choice. So you go through each one. And it's actually quite interesting. Rather than randomly pick one and say, oh, it's that.
The reason is because you were talking too much and I wanted to change the subject. So I thought I'd get back onto this and say that boating and baboon spotting for beginners...
It's fun to say.
It's fun to say, and also it is the spawn of Izzy's anus.
Okay, well, let's go through them. Gay Green Christian, this is the year of the niche ski trip. You say that that's an article, Simon?
Yeah.
That is an article!
Okay.
Right, I'll jump the boating and baboon spotting for beginners and go to finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
Chickpeas, how to cook them. That... is
an article, clearly.
An article! Well done. So it's between...
You're boring, but you're not boring enough to have made that up.
Cadbury's make chocolate or boating and baboon spotting for beginners. And Simon, you said that you were going to start this year. Your resolution was to win.
I set myself up for a fall, didn't I?
You really did. I'm afraid that boating and baboon spotting for beginners is a genuine article, whereas Cadbury makes chocolate is something I made up.
Cadbury's do make chocolate, though.
It's true. We're not talking about facts here, Simon. We're talking about articles, and you should have known that I made that up, because what was I eating before we started this podcast?
Buttons.
Cadbury's chocolate buttons. Izzy wins.
Time to dig deep into Santa's sack now.
No, it's not Santa's sack anymore. We've done all that.
Have we?
We've had that. Santa's now dead.
Is he?
Yeah, but he'll be alive again by next year.
He dies every year.
Yeah, he bursts into flame like a phoenix. The only difference is that unlike a phoenix, it's not like a baby Santa rises from the ashes. It's the same one that keeps going. So he just gets crispier and crispier and crispier.
I was hoping that on New Year's Day, I would die and regenerate, but it didn't happen.
Didn't it?
No.
Still got your stupid face.
Yeah, my stupid hair.
It's because you didn't have Bernard Cribbins tapping away at you.
Yeah.
If you had, you'd have regenerated by now.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't do that. That actually scares me a little bit.
Right. I asked at the end of last year what the stats were going to be for the year.
Yeah, because last year, I think I won something like 19-4, didn't I?
Yeah, something like that. But I also said I couldn't be bothered to do it. But one of you lovely dear readers has done it. Brooke Thomas.
Brooke is amazing and also a type of stream.
Yes. But Brooke has told me that these are roughly the scores, but I'd like to point out it was sometimes difficult to tell. Izzy has won 51 times.
Oh!
Simon has won a measly 9 times, which to me is already more than a year.
Wow. Oh, I'm such a winner.
Isn't that more than a year? 51 and 9? That's 60 times. I suspect this is the full thing rather than just a year.
Yeah, it's the full thing. I mean, it's full frontal, obviously.
There have been 5 undecided.
Ooh.
Other things have won included Huffleschluff.
Huffleschluff.
A paper that got left on a bus.
Nice.
Prometheus. I have no idea what that was about. Prometheus? Would we have tried? I can't. I'm not even
don't
sure.
Don't you remember that one? He came back through time and kicked your butt.
No. The Sunday Express won one time when we never had it. Every book that Douglas Adams ever written, Rebecca Watson, Tom Greaves, my epiglottis has won. More than me, it seems.
Excellent.
And Wiseman, of course. And there are 23 episode scores that are missing. So I'm going to claim those as mine. So you've still beaten me more times than...
But how can they be missing? What's happening? What does Brooke mean? I think those ones Brooke couldn't face. He couldn't Brooke them.
Brooke says, I have no idea why. Thank you, Brooke. That was fantastic. Also, thank you to Cantus, who will probably be dead by the time he hears this episode, because he's listening to them back to back. He was on episode 4 last time we checked. I think his ears had already started to bleed.
Yes, well done, Cantus. I imagine by now you'll hate me slightly.
Yes, he'll be in the same boat as me. Also, and this is the best thing, you posed a question to Rebecca about what would happen if you put a kitten in the Large Hadron Collider.
Yes, what would happen if you fired a kitten into the other kitten? Would the kitten live forever and his twin outside the Hadron Collider just be really old by the time the kitten got out of the Hadron Collider because time's relative?
Yeah, and what Rebecca did was go away and actually ask Brian Cox, who is one of the project leaders on CERN at the Large Hadron Collider. And this is what he said.
Yeah, I was just having this conversation with someone about the particle collider, and we had this question about what would happen if you put a kitten in and a kitten in the other side, and then you fired them at high speeds.
If you got them traveling at 99.99999% speed of light, which is the speed of the protons, which would take a lot more energy, so you couldn't. But if you did, then they would weigh 7,000 times more. Or they would be 7,000 times more massive for the pedants, those people who don't like astrology, I'm one pedant, maybe 7,000 times more massive, and time would pass 7,000 times more slowly for the kittens relative to the, so they would live 7,000 times as long as their twin kitten stood there next to the detector watching them go around the ring.
So you would have like a perma kitten of sorts.
Yeah, it would live 7,000 times longer and be 7,000 times heavier.
How fast how fast could a kitten go in the particle collider?
Oh, very, very slowly. It wouldn't even be able to move a kitten because it can only move, you know, it can only move a proton at 99.99999% speed of light. If you think how many protons are in a kitten. Well, remember Avogadro's number, 6 times 10 to 23 in it. And so I don't know how many moles of hydrogen and water and fat there are in a kitten, but someone can work that out. And send it. It's a lot, right? So there's a lot of protons in a kitten.
It would have to be a homeopathic kitten.
Infinitely diluted. Yeah, don't mention homeopathy, because we're getting tweets again from people.
So how cool is that? You have an official answer to your question.
What I quite like about that answer is that it shows that physicists are a bit like gangster rappers, because they like the word massive.
If you have any questions as to what would happen if you put different things in the Large Hadron Collider, don't ask us. We're not going to waste Brian Cox's time. Blue M&Ms. What would happen if you put Balloon Boy in the Large Hadron Collider? He wouldn't be in there. So if you want to write to us, it's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com, or you can write to us via Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, you can tweet at SciDone, SIGHDONE, or you can tweet at Izzy Lawrence, ISZI_LAWRENCE.
Or you can leave a message on our website, which is sundaysupplement.com.
So yeah, tapping away.
So that's what would happen if you put a kitten in a Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shit in the corner. I was right.
Fat cat. Fat cat.
Don't talk to me like that.
Fat cat.
It's the randomizer, Skyzer. Does warrant, I think, some sort of jingle still. But
yeah.
Can I be asked to make one? No.
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 If you want to make one, send one in.
Yeah, send us a jingle for the randomizer, Skyzer, and I guarantee we won't use it.
No, we might.
If it's good, we won't, because it'll make us look rubbish. It's rubbish. We will use it.
That's a bit backhanded compliment there, Simon.
People who don't win will think that theirs is really good, but the person who's won will think it's rubbish.
Yeah, and go away crying, even though
like that.
They'll be quasi-famous.
How... How many people have you heard say, and they said it's global warming in the last 2 weeks?
About 7.
Yeah. Did you kick them all in the genitals when they said it?
I didn't. I made them a hat. And they wore that hat mainly because I made it out of paper. And then I used a stapler to staple it to their skull.
Like Harrison Ford does in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Or Dylan Moran does to Bill Bailey's nipple.
How? You could choose Sunday Times Magazine, Style or Culture.
I will choose Style.
On the front of Style is a picture of a woman who has various vegetables covering up her pubis.
Excellent.
And you can choose from page 1 to page 50.
I will choose page 7.
7. Okay, oh, look, here we go. Loads, there's loads on this page. There's Blog Off.
Nice.
What cyberspace thinks of Davina McCall.
Oh, I quite like Davina.
There's a picture
McCall.
Of her in a muumuu and quotes from 3 different blogs telling her she looks rubbish in a muumuu. That's pleasant, isn't it?
I like Claudia Winkleman too.
I think Claudia's very funny. And there's also, you can buy a good handbag off of a peacock. I may have misread that. Right, what can I choose?
I've got Newsweek, The Critics, Travel, Comments, The New Review.
All right, let's go with The New Review.
So you got page 3 till 46.
What's wrong
46.
With page 1 and 2?
Page 1's the cover, page 2's a Maybelline ad.
All right, page 3 to what?
46.
Right, I am going to go with my age, which is 32.
There's Nimbus duck down duvets. Choose a different page.
What's wrong with the duck down duvet? It's good fun to
Nothing.
Say. Say duck down duvet.
Duck down duvet. Duck also down very duvet. Good for fights, duck down duvet.
Fights? Duck yeah. down pillow's good for fights, surely not.
Yeah.
You can't have a pillow fight with a duck down duvet. You can hide behind a duck down duvet. Do you see what I did there? You could literally duck down between a duck down duvet.
Well, that's why I was reasoning it'd be good for fights.
No, it wasn't. You were getting confused with pillows, don't you?
No, it's an old joke I used to tell on stage, which proves what a shit comedian I used to be. Right.
All right, a different page then. Is that what you're saying? All right.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's reverse my age and go to 23.
Right, this is the second part of an interview, which starts on page 21, and it's called The Irreverent Coles. And this is Heavens, Drugs, Speedboats, Documentaries, Promoting Homosexuality, The Reverend Richard Coles' Journey to the Cemetery, Seminary, not Cemetery. It's enough to make a bishop blush. Now he's safely in the bosom of the church. Shouldn't this former pop star be appearing on Thought for the Day rather than Have I Got News for You? Not a chance. This is all about a man who's turned to religion but is quite cool about it.
Right. Jonathan Edwards is the best one for that. He was a born-again Christian. He was hosting Songs of Praise. And then he had a second epiphany where he realised that there was no God after all. And so he stuck to his guns. He resigned from Songs of Praise because he said there was no God.
Now he's not sure again. This is the trouble when you take the opinion of a man who jumps into sand pits for a living.
Did your humdong get bigger over Christmas?
Not really. Mainly because my belly got bigger. And that was about the only thing that did.
So it is time to measure up our Christmas humdongers. Or New Year humdong, or New Decade humdong. Just, yeah. I like saying the word humdonger and pretending that it's somehow a double entendre for a penis. It's not, because it's a word we made up. It doesn't mean anything, but it does sound a bit rude, and I like that.
And it sounds a bit like a sort of very specialised blowjob. You know, bit of throaty singing.
Now, mine is actually, I referred to the front cover of Style. This is the article that's referring to that. But the woman's in a bra, not fruit anymore. It's about a better you, and it's 10 different things you can do to detox. But what's the best thing about it is it only lists 3.
Really?
Yeah, really. So it's 10 things you can do, and then it lists 3 of them. One of them is to learn to relax, chakra balancing on the go.
Chakra, not chakra. God, you're racist.
Apparently my third chakra governs my self-esteem.
And that's in the middle of your forehead, your third one, or is it in your stomach? I can't remember if this is your third or your fifth.
It's in your solar plexus.
Which is in one of those areas.
And it's just all about detox, and it's crap. Although there is quite a sexy woman covered in fruit, which is what you need when you're feeling fat.
Yeah.
To see a sexy woman covered in fruit.
I want to see an ugly man eating chips.
Just to feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
So beat that.
Well, I'm going to tackle this humdonger with a pussy.
Ooh.
So I've got Portfolio, which is shot one of four. So I have to buy the next month's worth of the Sunday Independent in order to see the rest of these. But it's Dan Byrne 44. I mean, there's lots of numbers on this page, mainly because at the top it says 10.01.10. It's like the whole thing speaking to me in Morse code. Which, of course, we all know Morse code is about teenage skirts. So it's about this photographer who's taking pet portraits. And the portrait...
Sorry, I've just got that Morse code joke. That's a reference to something we talked about earlier. I understand
years
now.
Years ago. Yeah. I'm basically doing it all for Cantus now. It's for you, Cantus. You little penguin on Twitter.
If he's not dead.
It'd be awful, wouldn't it? Imagine Cantus starved in a chair in some flat in Norwich and just like empty in a room, and they walk in, they find their dead loved one, the family, and they're going around it, and it's like, oh, he's got an iPod in. What's he listening to?
All you can hear is us going, humdonger is a rude word.
Humdonger. Donger, donger, donger. Oh, it's so funny. Right, so...
So what's
basically,
yours? I'm confused.
It's a picture of a cat...
Yeah.
Looking very annoyed.
About what? Being put in a Large Hadron Collider?
Well, he says, I shot Macy, pictured here at the Supreme Cat Show in Birmingham. There's something about this wired-up look she has. Macy has been prodded, squeezed and pulled all day, and she was fairly knackered and pissed off, which is, I think, comes across in her expression. So you open up the supplement and you've got this picture of this cat looking at you like you're a shit.
Time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week.
So it's me. Anyway, what we should do, right?
What should we do? Tay is brilliant and Simon's rubbish over and over again for 77 episodes.
Brooks did an excellent job trying to decipher which one of us won.
Yeah.
But last year, we worked out which of the papers had won.
Oh, right.
We worked out it's like the Telegraph or something, I think. Because Stella won the best supplement. We need to announce the best supplement.
Okay, we're going to announce the best supplement based on no statistics whatsoever.
Is
this
just
our personal opinion? So the best supplement of 2009, which is what they're going to splash across all of their own advertising. Next time you see this supplement, it will say Best Supplement 2009, voted by Simon and Izzy.
I really like Take 5. And I can't remember what paper that comes out. I think it might be the Mirror or is it? No, it's not. It's News of the World.
You really like a supplement, but you don't know what paper
it's like. It's News of the World, People or the Mirror. They're all the same.
It's People, I think, because Celeb is the Mirror, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, Take 5 is brilliant because on the first page of every Take 5, I mean, not only do you have handy household tips in that supplement, right? You got pictures that grannies have taken. So you got dogs in costumes, and you get kids in costumes, and you get sunny days, and you get tips and advice on cake. Now, that is ideal.
My nomination would be Live or Live, because we never know what it's called. And always guaranteed it's got Piers Morgan in the back.
That is true.
And as much as you hate Piers Morgan, there's nothing more satisfying than being able to record yourself calling him a c**t over and over again. Because he is a c**t, and I like saying that he's a c**t. Because do you know what? Piers Morgan is a c**t.
So how about we give Take 5 for popularity and then the one with the c**t in, which is an award in itself.
Sunday supplement with the best c**t at the back.
C**t of the year, Piers Morgan.
Yeah, okay, so the newspaper you should have bought last week was Izzy's, whatever that was, I can't remember.
Independent.
The newspaper you should have bought...
Over the year
was the one with Take 5 in it, we don't remember what that's called.
I think it's the People, I think you're right.
The Mail on Sunday, which got Live or Live. So there you go. This hasn't been a waste of half an hour of your life.
It feels good to be back. It feels good to be back. It feels great. I feel like I'm starting afresh.
No, that's just because you've got 9 layers on and you're actually now just dehydrating and getting heat stroke.
I'm really, really quite toasty. It's nice.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Not that you tuned in. That's ridiculous.
You know,
I think I'm a disc jockey?
Thanks for jacking us up and downloading the waffle.
Oh, yeah. Go away. Let's just go away.
Is it?
Go
with
away.
With maple syrup.
Go away. Yeah. Go away. Go away. Can we stop now, please?
Huckleslaw.
Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.